Well, let's turn to the back of our Bibles and find 3 John here this morning. 3 John. I've already finished outlining 2 John there at the kitchen, there at the mission. And now it's time to take the skeleton and put the muscles and the meat onto it. When we get done with 3 John, we'll go into 2 John. And then we'll have 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John as a congregation done. And on the website for those hopefully to enjoy. 3 John, verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness. Now notice these words carefully. They have borne witness of thy charity before the church. He was no closet Christian. Okay? He was not a Christian in disguise. He was a Christian on a mission. Whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men. And of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. He's talking to Gaius. Peace be to thee, our friends. Salute thee, greet the friends by name. As I read that, did you notice how many times you saw the word truth and the word true? You may want to go back at your leisure and underline every time you see the word truth or true. And then you also need to go back and underline everything that says good report, a good witness, things that kind of denote a testimony, a witness, or a reputation being said about a certain believer. Okay, that's at your leisure. That's your homework when you have nothing to do this afternoon. We're considering the 4 men of 3 John. Okay? And today's lesson is keeping one's good report. Keeping that good report that we should have. And we see the 4 men of 3 John. The Apostle John. He's the human penman, one of the original 12 disciples. John was there with Jesus in that intimate relationship with Peter, James, and John. Those three apostles were so intimately attached to Jesus, and Jesus was intimately attached to them. Jesus takes John and the other two on several very unique occasions in the life of Jesus Christ. No other apostle shared that experience at the Mount of Transfiguration, okay? No one but those three disciples. And then we saw that Gaius was the second man of 3 John. He was a very hospitable believer. He knew how it is to open heart and door to those who were serving and advancing the gospel. Then we have Diotrephes. He is the nightmare from hell. Okay? This individual somehow was in the church just kind of bulldozing everything, even showing disrespect and a lack of hospitality to even John himself. Of all men to turn away, of all men to shut a door in his face, the Apostle John. To me, Diotrephes really had something about him
to snub John. Well, this morning we're going to consider Demetrius. He is a man with a good report. And I have to correct myself. There is another Demetrius in the New Testament. I was thinking of another person. So if we have time this morning, I'm going to show you the other Demetrius. And guess what? That Demetrius is a total 180 of this Demetrius. Okay? Let's see what we can do here this morning. Verse 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men. You may want to highlight that. You may want to underline that. And notice, not only does he have a testimony, not only does he have a witness, not only does he have a reputation amongst the saints, it says Demetrius had good report of all men and of the truth itself. What is the first casualty of any war, anyone?
Truth.
Truth is the first casualty in any battle. In any argument, what's the first casualty? The facts, the truth. Would you agree? Those running for election, the first casualty that comes out of their mouth when they're posed a question on these debates is what? Truth and the facts. They hem-haw, they dance around the issue. I have seldom seen one of these politicians, except last night when I was watching some of the reruns of the Republican debate, one of the moderators asked Donald Trump a pretty lengthy question, and he looked in the camera and said simply, "No." And everybody applauded. To hear a politician give a straight yes or no is kind of refreshing versus dancing around the issue, saying a whole lot, but arriving with nothing. But Demetrius, on the other hand, was a man, and ladies, this also includes you, this was a man, and we need men and women in the church to have a good report, a good testimony, a good witness, a good reputation. Proverbs 22:1 and Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, to have a good name is better than gold and silver and riches and precious ointment. A good name, a good reputation, a good testimony is the crowning virtue that each and every one of us should strive. And beloved, I'm not asking you to be reputable in small things. We're talking about being reputable in regards to the truth and doing those things that please Christ Jesus. May I ask you a very serious and a very pointed question? Do you this morning desire to please Christ? I'm not asking you to please me. Because, beloved, if I try to please you all the time, I'm going to fail. And if you try to please me all the time, y'all going to fail. That aside, are you this morning a sold out, born again, Holy Ghost indwelt, Holy Ghost filled believer, and the driving passion of your life is to please Christ in any way, shape, or form that has been given to you? Whatever your calling may be, whatever your gifts may be, whatever your talents may be, whatever your God-given desires may be, I'm asking you, point blank, do you desire to please Christ? Do you desire to hear those words from the lips, listen, of God Almighty in flesh? Well done, good and faithful servant. Notice it says Demetrius had good report. And what is Jesus' words to those who are faithful? Well done, good and faithful slave. That's what Jesus is going to say to those who were faithful on earth with their callings, with their duties, with the open doors and the privileges given to you, my dear friends, to serve him. To serve him. Hold your place here and go all the way back to Acts chapter 6. Notice when they were picking the first deacons over the issue of doling out bread and food in an equitable manner amongst Jews and Grecian Jews. Notice the qualifications once again, my dear brothers and sisters. On the first deacons. Now, these were table waiters.
They were giving out food boxes at the local mission. Look at verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you. Not going to the world, but looking within the church itself, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Notice, an honest or a good report. So you may want to cross-reference Acts 6 and 3 to the verse next to Demetrius. He has a good report of all men and of the truth. And notice when it comes to the first deacons, it's not their financial skills that were being called upon. It was not their administrative skills that were needed. It was not their cheerful smile that was needed. It was not their whimsical telling of jokes that was needed. They needed honest men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Listen and look up here to pass out food. My word, you would think those would be the qualifications for the CEO of some multi-million dollar business to make sure everything is above board and that all the workers are being compensated for their pay equitably. To pass out bread. To pass out a box meal. So guess what? When you come down to the mission to serve, you ever stop and think that you're functioning as a deacon in that aspect? You are serving. And the first deacons to pass out a food box or a sack lunch had to be men of good report, good reputation, full of the Spirit of God and of wisdom. You need that to pass out a box lunch? So when you come down to the mission, I hope to God that you don't view that as some little mundane hour and a half out of your busy schedule. Ho-hum, la-di-da, let's slap the food and toss it up on the line. You're functioning as a deacon at that moment, in principle, and by action. To pass out a box lunch, you have to have a good report, filled with the Holy Spirit, and a man of wisdom. Now, hold your place in 3 John. Go to Hebrews 11, the chapter dealing with faith and works. Look at Hebrews 11. Now, where do I get my good report? Where do I start to build up on this reputation for the sake of Christ? Let me show you the answer. It's a five-letter word. Look at verse 1 and 2. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the pronoun it modifies the word faith, for by faith, the elders obtain what type of report? A good report. So if you're here this morning and you lack biblical faith, I'm here to tell you, it's going to be literally impossible for you to have a good report biblically. You might be a good Joe. You might be someone who's the center of a party. You might be the one with the quick jokes and the little antidotes. You may be the person with the cash to do this and do that for your buddies. You may have the best shiny car that's all waxed up. You may have a most beautiful, gorgeous home with all the remodeling and all the amenities to make it a comfortable place. You may have the world by the tail. But if you don't have biblical faith, you will never have a good report. That's what my Bible tells me, unless yours reads differently. It says all the people that you're going to read here in Hebrews chapter 11, starting with all the great heroes of the Old Testament, and despite all of their flaws and all of their pimples and all of their warts and all of their sins, despite all of that, these men and women that are found in chapter 11 were men and women of faith who in the end, the overall drift of their life was one, as a man and a woman of God who had a good report of themselves and of the truth. So can I ask you that question again? Do you desire to be a man or a woman of God with a good report? Is your godly reputation and your godly witness more important than a degree
from a prestigious school, or the fat bonus check in the month of December, or to have all the friends that money can buy, or to have all the toys and trinkets that this world can offer, what do you esteem to be the most priceless treasure you can have? You know what that is? Your good name. You can't buy a good name. The last time I went shopping with my wife, yesterday we got our groceries, I looked in vain on the shelves to find a jar of good report. It wasn't in the frozen section, it wasn't in the deli, it wasn't on the cans, it wasn't in the boxes, it wasn't in the produce section, it wasn't with the coffee or so. I can't find a jar or a box of good report. Well, pray tell, where do you find good report? You find it in this book with the faith that God has fused into you to make you a godly man and a godly woman, and God expects you and I to have a good report amongst all men and of the truth itself. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. And brothers and sisters, if that is not your desire here this morning, then you need to go back to the cross, get on your knees, repent, and then get saved. And that's not to put anybody here on some guilt trip or to throw you down and say that you're bad, bad, bad. But if that's not your desire this morning, it is to please Christ in every way in your life, to have a reputation, a testimony, a report. Others can say, there goes a man of God. There goes a woman of God. Don't you desire that report? Don't you desire that testimony to know that other men know that when they see you, they see Christ in action? If that's not your desire, then there's something wrong with you. You are spiritually sick, and you're spiritually off kilter. Okay, go back to 3 John, verse 12. Demetrius had good report of all men and of the truth, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Notice also what John says in verses 12. Not only does Demetrius have this reputation, and it's quite evident that in the first 8 verses, Gaius had that reputation, and unfortunately, Diotrephes had a reputation on the other end of the scale. Would you now be willing to agree with me? You have to admit that Gaius and Demetrius and John were individuals that when you looked at their lives and when you spent a little time with them across the table with a glass of wine, some bread, some cheese, tea, coffee, Coke, pop, you felt that you were with somebody who loved the Lord. There was something about their life that just simply drew you. Have you ever been around other believers and their life is like a magnet? You just enjoy being with them and they talk about Christ. They talk about the scriptures. Then my wife and I, in all of our military journeys, we've been around people who profess to be Christians. And when you bring up just a nonchalant conversation about the Bible and doctrine and this, they were like clams. They were clams. Talk about sports, and they became animated. Talk about the weather, and they were animated. Bring up Jesus, and they looked like a Raggedy Ann doll that had no spine. There's something wrong. But then in all of our military journeys, whether it was South Dakota, Arizona, Louisiana, Germany, New Jersey, we met other people. When you talked about the Lord in their home over a meal, this conversation back and forth, tell me how the Lord saved you. And you would have this beautiful witness, this beautiful testimony. And then you would have some real heartbreaking testimonies of families being kicked out of the church because they became 5-point Calvinists. And we would talk about the things of the Lord and it flowed out of our mouth naturally. Have you been there recently? Have you been around saints who love to talk about their Christ, who love to talk about their God, who love to talk about the scriptures? Or have you seen the other thing where someone claims to be a Christian and you can't even crank a conversation about the Bible out of their mouth? You can't even crank it out of them. You're going to sit there and try to convince this preacher that that's Christianity 101? I don't think so. John says not only Demetrius, look at it. Demetrius had good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, we also bear record. We also bear a testimony. And ye know that our record, our testimony, our witness, our reputation is true. So guess what your pastor drew from that one little line? Number one, Demetrius had a public witness. His Christianity was in the public domain. You ever hear public domain? I'm learning a little computer jargon. Public domain. When it says that our website is out in the public domain, it means that people can actually find our website. They don't need to go into a closet to find our church's website. It's out there in the public. It's in their face. Secondly, his light was in the open versus in a closet. Thirdly, his salt came out of its shaker and it didn't remain on the table. We have visible fruit. We have a tested character that was both tested, verified, and seen. Are you with me? And hopefully I'm not over your heads. What am I saying? In the first century, those first century saints lived a life where Christ could be seen in public on the way they lived, the way they acted, the way they conducted themselves, the way they conducted their families and their homes, how they conducted themselves. If they were a slave, they did their job for the best. They did it to the glory of God, even though their master may have been a cruel one-eyed monster. There was something about them that made them distinct from all the other Roman and Greek citizens of that first century. May I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? Can I make you so uncomfortable that you're going to get mad at me? And when you get mad, repent and then get glad. When people see you and me, what is their report of you and me? Well, you can't trust that man. I lend him some cash. I'm still waiting to get paid. He calls himself a Christian. Down there at the mission, you get to meet a lot of businessmen here in town. Several lawyers. There's one lawyer. He's a criminal business lawyer. And Thursday mornings at 7 o'clock, he's dressed up, serving breakfast on the line. This is a lawyer. We've had several doctors. But when it comes to the business community, some of the things that you hear are quite frightening. That many banks do not deal with certain churches or certain professing Christians because their name on the dotted line holds no weight. They just blew their report. They just blew their reputation. When you make a vow or a promise to someone that you're going to do something, and then you just simply drop the ball, and there's no common courtesy, and maybe a call or an email or whatever, say, hey, I'm stuck in traffic, I'm going to be a little late. But if you make a commitment to be at a certain place at a certain time to help somebody, and you just don't show up, and you leave that person hanging, do you think that's going to foster a good report about you and about the Christ that you claim? Years ago, we didn't need a signed contract, right, folks? Here in the good old U.S. of A., when Farmer Brown went to the bank to get a loan from that local bank, right? Just a simple handshake across the desk was good enough for that bank president to give that farmer the loan he needed to buy his equipment or to buy his grain. Would you agree? Today in America, a handshake means nothing. A verbal commitment in this country means nothing. We have to have lawyers and contracts with tiny little print to cover all the loopholes because we live in a society of people who make their living in lying and cheating and stealing. What about marriage vows? As Christians, we stand before the minister and before friends and family, and the minister and God Almighty, I took a vow to love, to protect, and to cherish this woman as long as I live, till death do I part. How well do we keep those vows to our spouses? When a parent tells their child, well, we're going to do this coming weekend. We're going to get ourselves and we're going to go camping, whatever, just have a good time together. And then lo and behold, mom and dad just simply forget. And parents don't keep their words to their children. That don't go too hot with the children being convinced that your Christianity is top notch. A good report. A good report. Look at 3 John once again. Go back to verses 1. I'm going to read verses 1 to 4 once again. And I want you to take your pen, if you have one. If you're on a computer Bible, if you have that ability to highlight, watch. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Underline, truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified, underline, testified, of the truth. Underline, testified of the truth that is underlined in thee. It's in him. Even as thou, underline, walkest in the truth. Beloved, it's impossible for you and I to walk in the truth if that truth doesn't first and foremost reside in our hearts. Are you an individual that does everything in your power to get the Word of God into your mind? We pass out devotional books. Do you use them? If you don't use them, why not? Don't sit there and tell me that the devotional books I give you are so taxing and tedious that you can't go through those devotional books as a family or as an individual. Pastor, I'm too busy. Well, then maybe readjust your schedule. I don't want to hear cheap excuses. No excuses. Sick and tired of cheap excuses. On Judgment Day, God ain't going to accept our cheap excuses. Do you read the Scriptures? If you have a hard time reading, well, do you listen to it audibly? Don't sit there and tell me that you can't get the Word of God into your life some way, somehow. There is so much technology today, no excuses. Are you faithful to your attendance in church? Do you make every available means to be in God's house on God's day with God's people, with God's Word being given to you in order to build you up in your most holy faith? Do you relish being in the prayer meeting, praying for one another? That's living out that truth. Read on. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, underline, walk in truth. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. You got 4 verses, and the word truth is found in each one. Truth. Truth, truth, truth. I'm here to tell you, in order for you to have a good report, not only must you be a man and woman of faith, you have to be a man or a woman who takes the time to digest the truth and then to walk the truth. Notice verse 3. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth, notice, that's in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. There's two sides there, brothers and sisters. Now, you may not like what you're hearing from me. That's cool. But this is God's word to you. And if you have a problem with God's word, that's sin. Not against me, but against your master. So repent, and then get right, then get glad. It says the truth has to be in you before you can walk it out. You don't walk it out without it first being put into you. By reading, study, memorize, meditate, and making availability to every means given to you in this church ministry. Look at 2 John. Ready? Get your pens out. Get that computer lined up with that split screen. The elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth, underline, I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have, underlined, known the truth. Notice, before you can love the truth, you got to know what it is. Isn't that amazing? In one book, John says, you can't walk it unless it's in you. Here he says, you can't love it unless you know it. For the truth's sake, underline that, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in truth and love. So guess what? I can dogmatically say right here from this pulpit, and hopefully it won't ruffle your feathers too much or rattle your cage, unless you know truth, you can't love right. So you can't walk properly, and you can't love properly, unless you're a man and a woman of truth. You can argue with me until the moon turns to Limburger cheese. You ain't gonna move this preacher. You're not gonna have a good reputation. You're not gonna have a good testimony. You're not gonna have a good witness, and you're never gonna show genuine biblical love unless you are a man and a woman who's acquainted with the truth. I say that on the authority of God's inspired, preserved word. I rejoice greatly, verse 4, that I found thy children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. So apparently walking in truth is a commandment. So brothers and sisters, if you're here this morning and this message is really making you feel uncomfortable and you'd rather be hitting the car and getting home, I'm here to tell you, my dear friend, you ain't going to get anywhere in your Christianity when it comes to this concept of loving and walking and having the truth dwell in you. Because it says, walking in truth as we have received the commandment. To walk in truth is a command. To love in the truth is a command. To hide the truth in your heart is a command. It's not an option. You don't pray about doing it. You simply pray for God to give you the time and the grace to do it. Let me ask you a question. Do we reflect in any shape, way, or form the character of a Demetrius? Do you reflect the character of a Demetrius? When people see you, do they see a Gaius? Or do they see a Diotrephes? All the masks come off. Are you a Gaius in spirit and in truth? Are you a Demetrius in spirit and in truth? Is that your passion? Is that your desire? Look at 1 John 5. Look at 1 John 5. Now, all these little verses that I'm giving you also give away the fact that John is the writer of these three letters to include his gospel in the Revelation. So when you hear a liberal theologian or some flapping talking head on some megachurch telling you, well, we really don't know who wrote the Gospels and the three letters, and it may have been the second or third century John the Elder, I want you to turn off the channel. If you don't do it, then you're in disobedience to me under the authority of God's word. Obey your elders. Now you wrap that around your little head. Obey your elders. If I give you something that's biblical and you refuse to obey it, that's sin. Not sin against me, but sin against God and His Word. Preacher, I'm a free spirit. Really. If you're so free, there isn't a fourth chair in heaven. There isn't a fourth member of the Godhead. You are to obey your elders if they give you the straight skivvy. And if not, that's an indication that you lack something on the inside. Maybe you do lack truth. Preacher, you're getting too close. I'll get as close as I can to provoke you unto love and good works. And if that's not your cup of tea, you got to find yourself another pastor. I ain't going there. 1 John 5, look at verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now I'm told that in the Greek, the expression or the phrase in wickedness literally means in the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God is come and had given us an understanding that we may know him that is what? true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And then he adds this, little children, by the way, keep yourself from idols, amen. Notice the word true in that little passage. Well, maybe you're sitting on the edge of your chair and you're saying, okay, Pastor, I've heard you flap all morning long. I need a definition. What's the definition of the word record? Demetrius had a good record. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Ready? The word that is translated record in 1 John 5 verses, look at 1 John 5:11 while we're there. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Look at that verse 11. This is the record. That word is used about Diotrephes. He had a good record. He had a good report. In the Greek, that word record means to testify. It means to give testimony. It means to give a witness. There you go. When it says that Demetrius was a man with a good report, it has nothing to do with his high school diploma or his report card. It has to do with his spiritual report card in the courts of heaven and in the courts among men. He had a testimony, he had a testification, and he had a witness that was above board and was in total alignment with the whole body of biblical truth. Do you realize that your testimony and my witness has to be in conformity to the entire stack of biblical truth? Not little bits and pieces. This ain't a cafeteria Christianity. This ain't a smorgasbord. You got to take the whole kit caboodle. From the Old Testament book of Genesis all the way through Revelation, every page, every book, every chapter, every character, every illustration, every typology, every warning, every dream, every promise. You have to be so familiar with that body of truth that your testimony and your witness that you testify has to be in alignment with the truth, not some of the truth. Did you realize that? Or maybe that just got you confronted today for the very first time. The whole body of truth, not little itsy bitsies, all of it. Let's take you on a journey then. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. Let's look at the DNA of the Apostle John in his own Gospel. Ready? Watch this. It says that Demetrius was a man with a good report. He had a good testimony. He had a good witness. And everything was in alignment with the truth of God's word. And as you also testified, the first casualty of any conflict, the first casualty of any war, the first casualty of any political debate, the first casualty of any argument in the home, truth is always sacrificed first. Watch this. Look at verse 34. Brother Mike, read verse 34, dear friend.
And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
That's John the Baptist, I believe, speaking about his cousin. What word is found in there with the letter R?
Record.
Record. That's the same word talked about in Demetrius, about Demetrius in 3 John. This is why I know that the writer of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the Revelation is the same one that wrote the Gospel. This is not a 2nd century John the Elder dreamed up by some liberal. Notice, I saw and bear record. Notice, John was confronted with living truth. He accepted that living truth, and he had no other recourse but to what? Testify and give witness to what element of truth? That his cousin in the flesh was none other than the Son of the living God. Are you that bold? Can you imagine standing in a group of Muslims and professing, "I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of the living God"? You might go home a little lighter because your head is going to be cradled in your arm. Look at John 3. Look at John 3. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." You don't receive our record. Verse 11. I'm sorry. John 3 and verse 11. Now notice these words. "We speak that we do know and testify to the things we have seen." That sounds just like 1 John chapter 1, 1 to 4. "That which we have seen, handled, and touched, we testify, that your fellowship may be with us and your joy may be full." How's that grab you for a John DNA proof? That the one who wrote this gospel wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, not some liberal clown telling you it was John the Elder of the 2nd century. Are you with me this morning? Look at John 5. John 5. Look at verse 39. Sister Spagnolo, read verses 39, please. Congregation, please follow.
539.
539.
"Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me."
Thank you. See the word testify? That's the word record translated and talked about Demetrius in John 3. Same word. Same word. Jesus Christ is saying that the Old Testament scriptures was nothing more but a record of the Son of God who would come. It was a witness. It was a testimony of the Messiah who was to come. I'm just showing you where this word has been used elsewhere. Look at John 15. Beloved, if you have nothing to do on a cold winter's day in Kansas, get a Strong's Concordance, pick one word, pick a very easy word, all right? Whether it's the Hebrew part or the Greek part of the dictionary. Listen here, I'm going to give you a little hint on Bible study. Get a Strong's, find a very easy word, start off easy, maybe find a word that's found a dozen times or two dozen times. Find the meaning in the back. Then look up all the verses on how that word is used. You'd be surprised what you can walk away with in your understanding of God's word in a simple word study. That's what we're doing here this morning. I'm showing you how you do a word study. And it's going to benefit you, not me, you. John 15:26. "When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify," or give a record or a testimony, "of me." Now watch. "Ye also shall bear record, because you have been with me from the beginning." You see the word testify and the word witness? It means record. It means to give a testimony. It means to give a good report of who Jesus is when you share him with the world. Look at verse 27. "You," not only is he speaking to the 12, by secondary application, he's talking to you, his saints. "You got to bear witness because you've spent time with Christ." Brothers and sisters, can I reason with you? And hopefully you're not so PC sensitive that this is going to make you do somersaults and get so upset with me. The more you are with Christ, the more you fellowship with him, the more you're in the Bible, the more you read, the more you study, the more you come to church, the more you draw closer to him, you can't help but tell the world of your Savior. You can't help but go out of your way and share him with a lost and dying world. You're going to go out of your way to help some poor saint who's crushed by sin and by persecution and by trials and tribulations. When they're in the hole, when they're in the ditch, and they got to look up and cry out, you got to be there to add that medicine, that balm of Gilead to their bosom. Beloved, how can you do that unless you're not acquainted with the Savior? And I'm speaking as one brother to another, brothers and sisters. If that really gets you disturbed, then you need to grow up and get out of your little crib and your little PC pity party that you have for yourself. Get in the Word of God. Draw close to Christ, and then you can become a witness. If that is not your cup of tea, if you do not relish that, then you go to Calvary and you get on your cotton picking sinful knees and you get right with God. Don't you dare sit there and whine and moan and bellyache on your duties as a Christian. Stop looking inwardly to all of your problems and all of your hang-ups and look out to a lost and dying world. Look up and cry out. And then you get in the trench with Christ and you be his hands. You be his feet. You be his heart. You shed those tears. You cry out to him. And if you don't want to do that, then you ain't saved. You are a phony. You're a phony. Take the name Christian off your noggin. Don't you dare blaspheme his name. But if you're here this morning and you come to realize that you're letting down your Christ with your responsibilities as a witness for him, then you leave this home and you get on your knees and you get right with him and you do something with your Christianity. Pastor, that's just too strong. Well, so is the flame in hell. It is hot, long, and strong. Sick and tired of Christians whining and belly aching. If you got time to whine, then you have time to get out there and be a witness. Sad estate for the church. Belly aching, whining believers. Do something with your faith. Do something with your Christianity. Do something other than complain about the situation. J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, you put yourself last. And with that equation, you will find joy for the first time versus feeling sorry about yourself and your situation here in life. John 19. Look at John 19. Look at verses 32. And if memory serves me right, this is only found in John's Gospel. John 19, verse 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, of which the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. And he that saw it bore testimony, witness. And his witness is what? True. This was a Roman soldier who probably shoved those spikes into his wrists and into his ankles on the tree. This was probably one of the soldiers that beat your Savior to a bloody pulp. And when he saw everything that transpired that day, from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, he had no other recourse but to give a testimony that everything that was said about this man is and was true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. Have you noticed in John's Gospel you find these words testify, record, testimony, and witness
runs all through his gospel. The same words are found in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He is the original author, not a 2nd century elder to John. Also, too, did you notice it mentions there that water and blood came out? I find it amazing. You don't need to turn there, but allow me to give you this free ditty. I'll let you meditate on this one. 1 John chapter 5, listen to this. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear record in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three are one. John's gospel, I believe, is the only gospel that gives the account of the soldiers doing what they did to Jesus, and water and blood coming forth, and lo and behold, in 1 John 5, he mentions that. And then you have your theologian friends telling you that verse 7 don't belong there. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Look up here. Look up here. When they did the revised version of 1881, there was a Unitarian on the translation committee. Up until that bozo was on the committee, the majority of the Greek manuscripts had verse 7. But when there was a Unitarian on the board that denies the Trinity, then this verse was taken out and dropped to a footnote. Let me give you another little ditty I learned this week. Look up here. Mark 16, 9-20. There are 620 Greek manuscripts now that have the entire Gospel of Mark. Look up here. Two. Only two out of 620 don't have the ending to Mark 16. Some people that you listen to are feeding you a whole lot of baloney, and you lack the spiritual discernment. And if you're willing to put that person on a pedestal over the Word of God, shame, shame, shame on you. I don't care who they are. Out of 620 Greek manuscripts, you're going to tell me with two manuscripts that have that little ending of Mark gone, you're going to go with the testimony of two perverted Greek texts out of the witness of 618 so far dug up out there in the Middle East? Don't know about you, but it makes my blood boil. And that's why we don't have responsive reading in churches. Because everybody comes to church with a different sword and a different bugle. And when they blow, it makes the most ungodly sound under heaven and earth. Look at John 21. Someone's lying, and it's not the scriptures. Somebody has bought into a lie. I find it amazing. You get all bent out of shape when a politician lies to you, but when a gospel preacher lies to you, you give that person a free pass. So that means I ought to get a whole lot of free passes then. If you can stomach a you get all bent out of shape when someone lies to you behind the podium when they're running for office and you jump up and down like Jack in the Box. But when a seminarian or a professor or some talking head or a megachurch pastor gets up there and tells you certain portions of your Bible don't belong, you give them a clap. Don't tell me that you're a lover of truth. You're a lover of men and men's reasoning. John 21, 24. This is the disciple which testifieth. That means to give a record of the things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony or his record is what? True. There it is. Thank you, dear sister. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself cannot contain the books that should be written. Amen. So what's the bottom line as I close? You need to sit down this afternoon if you haven't done so, and you need to get kind of a schedule or a plan laid out for your walk with Christ. I'm not going to ask to see that plan. I'm not going to check and see if you have that plan. I'm just going to sit back and see the fruits of your plan. In your busy day, you need to set aside time as an individual and as a family and have your devotions. Go through the reading of your Bible. You pray to your God. You have a little prayer thing. You pray for the missionaries. You pray for one another. You pray for the situation of our nation. You pray for revival. If you have members in your family that are sick, dealing with whatever, you pray for them. You love them. You serve them. You minister to them. J-O-Y. Jesus comes first. Everybody else is second. You put yourself last. Then you will find true joy. Then you're going to draw closer to Christ. You're going to cry out, look up and cry out to Him. You're going to feed and dine upon Him. You are going to drink about Him. You're just going to get so close to Christ that when people see you from now on, they're just going to see Jesus Christ in the flesh walking through your body, walking through your life. You are going to become a man and a woman with a good report, a godly testimony. And when a person sees you and when they shake your hand, they know that your word is good as gold. They know that they can trust you. They know they can depend upon you. They know that everything that comes out of your mouth is nothing but the unvarnished, uncompromising, unwavering truth. That's what I want you to do. Sit down and you get a game plan. If you don't have a game plan, then you start today. You get your Bibles. If you want a reading chart, there's all kinds of reading schedules and charts that you can download off the internet. You get into those devotional books. And versus going around listening to people who tells you, that don't belong, that don't belong, that don't belong, that shouldn't be there. How about finding you a Bible that is nothing more but the inspired word of the living God preserved and brought down to you? Jesus says, man shall live by every word, not some, not 98%, every word of the living God. So you've got to make sure that you have all of God's word. If you have doubts about what you have, come see me. I got two new books in the mail. And they're just blowing me away. All the little sneaky things done to God's word. Brother Mike, when it comes to making a counterfeit dollar bill, do I make that dollar bill orange or do I keep it green?
Keep it the way it is, green.
Keep it green. And how much of the original ink and the patterns and the face and the numerals, how much of that do I need to have on that bill to at least pawn it off as almost genuine?
Has to look pretty much the same.
Has to look almost just like the real McCoy, but only slight deviations. Beloved, some of you have bought the farm. You have bought the farm with dead chickens and dead hogs and rotten eggs. In order to make a counterfeit Bible, you have to have that Bible look almost like the real McCoy, but just a few little changes, where Jesus is found to be a liar in one version, and then Jesus got so angry on two occasions, he committed sin. And if you're going to sit there and tell me that don't bother you, maybe there's no spiritual blood flowing through your veins. Maybe it's nothing but ice. You get your plan. You draw close to Christ. You draw close to Him in prayer. And then you go out in a lost and dying world. And those things that you tell me and I tell you about me that we truly believe, that we need to get out there and tell the world about it. If not, the way I was taught from 18 up until the present hour at 63, with 1 foot in the grave, then there's something wrong with that spirituality. There's something wrong with that version of Christianity. And I'm not saying you got to go out there and tackle everybody in the street and shove a tract down their mouth. Make a friend with someone. Family friend. A relative. Co-worker. Get to know him or her. They get to know you. And then you bring up the subject of eternity. You'd be surprised how some people do think about that once in a while. And then you come alongside them and you give them the truth. And then you pray with them and send them on their way. Don't give them the sinner's prayer. You're not going to get a conversion and put a notch on your Bible belt. But spend time with them. Come back for another lesson. I got lots of helps if you want to do a study with someone. Try it. Try it. Demetrius was a man who had a good report. His life and the Bible matched. And that's one of the, that's another thing the church in America is starving for. Men and women who have a good report because they're married to the truth. And there's nothing wrong in having a passion for the truth. I love each and every one of you. And I want to see you prosper. I want to see fruit on your spiritual tree. I want to hear Jesus Christ tell you, well done, good and faithful. And if you think I've overstepped my bounds as a pastor with those expectations of you, show me in the Bible. I'm here to guard your soul from false sheep and predators. And by the grace of God, if He can give me the grace, I'll die for you. That's what you mean to me. This is a church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Jesus died for this body. He shed His blood for this body. And I'm willing to fight for her. The question is, are you willing to fight for yourself and your own relationship with Him? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to You once again asking for Your forgiveness and for Your mercy and grace for the times that we have failed You. And Father, I must be first to acknowledge my failures, my shortcomings, my inability at times to use the means properly at my disposal. But Father, I thank You that You are a God who forgives sins, and You are a God who is willing to pick us back up and put us back on that narrow pathway to that celestial city. Father, help each and every one of us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Help us not to be afraid of men's faces. Help us, Father, to have a good report, a good testimony, a good reputation. Help us to realize that a good name is better than silver and gold and precious ointment. Help us, Father, to cultivate a biblical Christianity that matches what's found in the pages of sacred Scripture. Father, be with Your people here this morning. Be with every husband, every wife. Be with every father and every child. Be with every single person. Be with those in our congregation who struggle with illnesses, painful, incapacitating illnesses. Father, I pray for Your healing hand upon such. I pray for those who tend to their needs, that You would not cause them to grow weary in well-doing, but to persevere and to know that their reward in heaven is sure and will be given to them for their faithfulness in meeting the needs of Your people. You told us if you give a cold cup of water in Your name to another brother, that will be rewarded in glory. So, Father, I pray for those who must tend to the sick, that You would strengthen them. Cause them to see their service to You, to their loved one, as service to You, first and foremost. Father, be with those here who are in the trench, those who are fighting the good fight. Father, make them strong, make them courageous, make them bold. Cause them, Father, to lift their voices to You in prayer. May they cry unto You like David cried. May You be their refuge. May You be their rock. May You be their mighty fortress. May You be their high tower. And may each and every one who is here this morning fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ. May Jesus Christ become their all in all. And may they wrap their spiritual arms around You in total thanksgiving and gratitude for the shedding of Your blood and the dying of Your precious body. And Father, I pray for anyone who is not saved.
I pray for the children of this church, that they will come to realize that the things that we say and the things that we speak and the things that we do is not a fairy tale. It's not a joke. It's not some myth or legend. It is historical fact bathed in historical truth. And Father, may you fill your people here this morning. Father, fill them with God the Holy Spirit and give them the ability to be bold witnesses for Christ. May they speak one to another in psalms and spiritual songs, making melody in their heart and singing praises to your glorious name. Father, we pray that you would keep the candlestick of this church shining brightly for as long as you want. Only you can close the doors of this congregation. Father, help us to be faithful in our giving, faithful in our service, faithful to our missionaries, faithful to one another, and above all, faithful to the truth. That we would walk in the truth, live the truth, and die by the truth. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.